You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit bpn.fm to discover more.
So this one will start with... You know?
Yeah, it's starting with that, actually. Yeah. Thanks, Rob, for our opening.
Thank you.
That was great. Welcome to The Fabulous Invalid, a Broadway-centric podcast where we take a 360-degree view of the theater through interviews with actors, writers, directors, designers, and everyone in between. I'm Jamie Dumont, recovering Broadway marketing associate, personal chef, and event planner.
And I'm Rob Russo, writer and theater critic with StageLeft.nyc.
Hi, Rob.
Hi, Jamie.
How's it going?
Very good. We're back in the thick of things. You know,
we are.
Our second season has launched. The Broadway fall season is, you know, really kicking up.
We're a part of the Broadway Podcast Network.
Yes.
Which is very exciting.
Very exciting. I'm so pumped to be a member of this community with all these other podcasts, all these other folks who are talking about theater and interviewing folks and having their own spin on things like we offer here. So it's going to be fun.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, on that note, it is time to talk about the fall.
Yes, Broadway is back. Not that it ever left, because as we've discussed on the show before, the season never really takes a break. Technically, it ends and begins anew with the end of the Tony deadline and the end of April, right? So anything opening after May or first would be considered the next season, right? So this summer wasn't too bad. We had four shows that started the season off: Frankie and Johnny and the Claire de Lune, the Terrence McNally play, which came and went.
Didn't take off quite like one would hope.
It did not. You know, it ended a month early, I believe, than it was supposed to, and had very anemic ticket sales. But was, you know, widely praised, and I think both Michael Shannon and Audra McDonald's performances were quite celebrated.
I mean, come on.
But yeah. Well, you know, I honestly think the knock on the show, because I think the production was geared around celebrating Terrence McNally's 80th birthday, right? And I think, at least from what I read, and you know, I sort of ascribe to this as well, of all of his plays, this is one that's been seen, you know, not too long ago. There are other works of his that I think folks would have liked to have seen.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, particularly something, you know, with an LGBT theme, because that is, you know, sort of what has made his writing so distinctive. A handful of plays over the years that have, you know, touched on subjects that at the time were certainly groundbreaking. Regardless, came and went. Moulin Rouge, which is a sensation unto itself, packing them in at the Al Hirschfeld Theater, quite literally. It's the second highest ticket price on Broadway. Most songs per minute of any musical probably ever. I think there's 70 songs in
that
show.
That's a dizzying statistic.
It's dizzying, yes.
Is that the, would you call that a can-can?
I certainly would.
Did I get it right?
Can-can.
Yeah, isn't there a thing? No, can-can. I feel like I'm...
Oh, you're full of voices today, Jamie.
I feel like I'm doing... I'm trying to do it. I'm clearly showing my cards that I saw Moulin Rouge in Boston a year and something ago, and I have not yet.
Well, it's on Broadway. It's a rare example, I think, of a show that is almost too big for the theater that it's in.
Yeah.
You know, which is, that's like, that never happens anymore, right? Because everyone's doing things that are smaller and more intimate. This is a big show.
It's broad.
It's bright. It's wonderful.
It's red.
It's
glitters.
Oh, yeah. It's quite an assault on the senses. Not in a negative way. I mean, in the way that it should be, because it's Moulin Rouge.
Sure.
Right? Jamie has a different feeling.
No, you know what? Look, I enjoyed Moulin Rouge. I it wasn't exactly my cup of tea. However, I have to say that that movie doesn't mean anything to me. Mm. And so I didn't come into it with that.
Yeah, a preconception.
Correct.
Right.
I will say it's possibly the best second act opener I've ever seen in my entire life. It's incredible. It's a great show.
Yeah.
It's not my thing, but I certainly understand, and I think they're going to make a gajillion dollars.
And
I hope it runs forever.
because it's
definitely something that people love, and it should be seen.
My advice, sit in the mezzanine. Because that's the only way you sit as far back as possible.
Is that where you sat?
No, I sat in like the fourth row of the orchestra, and I was too close.
When are you going to sit in the mezzanine?
Sorry,
when are you sitting?
I haven't made plans to go back because it's the second most expensive show on Broadway after Hamilton, and you know I'm on a budget. Seawall of Life, which transferred from the Public Theater downtown, was a rather unique offering in their season, last season, and is certainly a unique offering for Broadway. Two monologues by two different playwrights, performed by two incredible actors, Jake Gyllenhaal and Tom Sturridge. Very unique piece of intimate storytelling, unlike anything you've probably ever seen in a Broadway house. And I will say, I was nervous when it was announced for Broadway, not because I didn't think the show was good, but I was worried. To me, it felt too small at the Newman, at the Public, downtown. And to put it in a Broadway house, I was nervous that it would not work.
But they put it in the right house because
they did.
Everything looks great in the Hudson Theater.
Yes.
I love that theater so much.
I don't know what they did because I'm sure they did something to the design of it, to the feel of it, to the direction of it. I'm not close enough to it to know, but it works in that house. And it's a treat to see, you know, two really incredible actors give great performances. And then Betrayal.
Yes.
Harold Pinter's Betrayal is back on Broadway. This is a transfer from London, I believe, right?
Was that a Pinter pause?
Pinter pause. Ooh, Jamie.
Yeah.
Second level here. Yes.
He's back.
He's back. well, you and I were remarking how it's kind of funny that, you know, this play, I think, premiered on Broadway in like 1980 or something, went about 20 years without being revisited. And then in the last 20 years, this is the third revival of Betrayal in the last 20 years. I saw the one in 2013, which, you know, is not that long ago with Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz. So I was a little surprised when this was announced. I didn't know that it was a hit.
It was Rachel Weisz. I kept saying Carla Gugino.
No.
And
no.
You looked at me like, what are you talking about?
I don't know who that is.
Right. Why didn't you correct me?
Well, you know.
You're too polite.
I'm too polite. That's
Rob
Russo. My downfall.
But it's back. It hasn't really leave us.
And now it's back.
And I have to say,
yes.
You can say what you want about Harold Pinter, you can say what you want about Betrayal, whatever. Yeah. Tom Hiddleston, I think, is the biggest surprise of the season. Maybe
so far,
maybe the whole season.
It's early.
For me,
it's early.
It's early. I realize that. But God, he's
bold
fantastic.
Statement. He really is. He really is.
Wow.
I don't know any of his stage work. I'd never seen him live. And I'd have to go back and look at his credits to see what films I've seen him in, if I have. I know he's a Marvel.
He's an Avenger.
He's an Avenger. There you go.
He's a villain, I think, is more accurate.
Right.
He's Loki. Aaron is shaking his head. Remember when I yelled at Aaron and Jen Samard was like all freaked out? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
I didn't really yell, did I?
No.
I just got cross.
No.
I get cross.
We're human beings. You know, we have emotions.
Yeah, he's in a lot of the Avengers movies.
Aaron. Is he in all of them, Aaron?
Spoiler alert. No.
Oh.
Actually, that's not a huge spoiler. No, he's not involved.
He dies, obviously. And
there's one that takes place that he's just not involved in at all.
Are you a big Avengers fan, Aaron?
I am a huge comic book fan, so yes.
I am not.
Well, I'm glad you're here
news.
To round out our knowledge of the world because I have
no idea what I'm talking about. He's started as a Shakespearean actor.
Right, yes. He's classically
incredible.
Trained.
Yes.
And it shows
and
on
it
that
shows.
Stage.
Yeah. He's,
oh, my gosh.
I'm in love with him.
I was not prepared to be as blown away by him as I was.
I agree.
So that's a limited engagement, Betrayal. And that's everything that's opened as of today, and I think that will still be accurate when this airs. So looking ahead to the balance of the season, of the fall season, I should say, there's only one other revival beyond Betrayal that's slated for the fall, and that's The Rose Tattoo,
mm-hmm.
Tennessee Williams, starring Marissa Tomei. at the Roundabout Theater Company's theater on 42nd Street, the American Airlines.
Yes. I think they're opening, what, not in another
month? It's October 15th. Yeah.
So yeah. In a few weeks.
And that's, I'm excited, first of all, because I love Tennessee Williams. Duh.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? And beyond that, this is a play of his I don't know. I've never seen it or read it.
I feel like I saw it with Mercedes Rule. Is that possible?
That feels right. Feels
years
right.
Years ago.
Well, look, Mercedes Amundsen. Rule, Marissa Tomei, like, I see it.
Yeah.
Right? That makes sense, casting
I might
wise.
Be making that up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I am a frustrated casting director.
That's very true.
That
very
is real.
True. Very true.
That is real.
So because I like to live a very play-centric life, because I feel like Broadway musicals get talked about all the time, but we don't talk enough about plays. Let's talk about plays first. So there are 6 new plays opening on Broadway this fall.
I don't think that's true. I feel like we talk about plays a lot.
No, I mean globally, the world.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Yeah, no, we're very good about it. But yeah. I think it's intentional on our part to, you know,
right.
to fill some space.
The play's the thing.
Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. And there are 6 new plays
which is
this fall.
Continuing the uptick in new plays on Broadway, this
yes.
is a good number.
This is a great number. You know, last season, or rather 2 seasons ago, now I don't know what year we're in.
It's 2019, Rob.
Thank you.
You live in America.
The year of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, that was 2017 or 2018? It was 2018.
Sure.
It's 2018. That was not that long ago, folks. I am
no,
worried.
That was last year,
yeah.
Rob.
Yeah, I know. So that
Do
season,
you need a break?
That season was light. No, the 2016-2017 season was fantastic for new plays.
Right.
By new, you know, writers who had not had their day in court, so to speak. But last season, or I guess last season now, because we're at the beginning of this one, was light, the Harry Potter year. You know, the conventional wisdom being that no one wanted to produce and go up against this behemoth that they were anticipating it to be, and of course it won Best Play, you know. But it's good to be back in a season where there's a lot of new plays. The Great Society is the first of these new plays to open, and this is the second installment in playwright Robert Schnecken.
You're on your own with this one.
I feel like, you know, the birdcage, when the Schnecken beckons. Anyway, he wrote All the Way, which was on Broadway in 2014, with Bryan Cranston. This time around, Brian Cox is playing LBJ.
Taking a break from his duties on Succession.
There you go.
My favorite show.
Everyone's talking about Succession.
It's a great show, but it's not a Broadway show,
it's
so we'll
move
on.
It's not the subject of this podcast. So this play picks up where the last one ended and follows the years 1964 to 1968, President Johnson's first full term as president, through all the trials and tribulations, civil rights, Vietnam. I'm very excited for it. I loved All the Way.
Yeah, there's a lot of meaty stuff to work
so
with.
So much, and so timely, of course.
Yeah.
You know, wish it wasn't so timely, but the issues...
Well, we're living through it again.
Right, literally.
Quite literally.
And I believe it's the same format as All the Way, where you've got, 20 actors playing 50 characters, right? Which will be really exciting.
I'm in.
I'm in. I will be at the Vivian Beaumont. Can't wait. Next play that opens is Slave Play,
mm-hmm.
which, if you have not bought tickets, pause this podcast, go buy tickets, and then come back to hear about the rest of the fall season.
Well, I think you can listen to the podcast
route. You're right.
To the theater buy the tickets.
Yeah, or you can buy them online, telecharge.com.
You don't like to buy tickets online because you don't like to.
I personally don't. No.
And
I like
why
to save
is that?
I like to save on those fees.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they get you on the fees.
What do I like to do?
You like
money
to spend
at the problem.
All the money you
yeah,
can.
Yes, I do.
You like to buy the most expensive seat with all of the fees.
I love a fee.
Meanwhile, I'm like clipping out coupons. You know,
you're the benefit of my reckless spending.
I really am. I really am. No, I can't complain. But
Slave Play.
Yes, this was at New York Theater Workshop last fall. Jeremy O'Harris is the playwright. Get used to hearing that name because
he's going to write all the plays.
He's going to write all the plays, and I'm very excited to live in a world where that is the case.
I am too.
I saw a Slave Play downtown last fall. It was one of the most provocative things I've ever seen, both literally in terms of the subject matter, but also thought-wise. It really makes you think about race, sexuality, and sex in ways that are dramatized, that you rarely see on Broadway, or off-Broadway, or anywhere.
Anywhere.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited.
And it makes you feel and think things that you're not prepared to feel and think, and that is great.
Yes, that's why we do theater. That's why we love theater. And what's really exciting is that with the exception of one character, the rest of the cast from Downtown has transferred intact.
Yeah.
Which is very impressive, considering it's almost a year later.
And it's a great cast.
It's a great cast. Yeah. So I'm very excited for that. Next up, The Height of the Storm, which is Manhattan Theater Club presentation. Playwright Florian Zeller, French playwright. This was in the West End, I believe, last year with Jonathan Pryce and Eileen Atkins.
Yeah.
And they are repeating their performances on Broadway at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater, Manhattan Theater Club's Broadway space. Very excited to see.
I'm very excited. I love both of those actors.
Yes, yes.
And I love a good drama about marriage.
A marriage drama,
I mean, that's yes, right up my alley.
I'm here for it. Yeah.
I live one every day.
Yeah, right. And I will say, Manhattan Theater Club has a really great track record of bringing in stuff from the West End.
They do.
The Children, which again was about 2 years ago, was phenomenal. I loved that play. So very excited to see that. Next up is The Sound Inside, which is an Adam Rapp play that will be at Studio 54. It was at the Williamstown Theater Festival in 2018. Did you see it?
I did not.
You did not. Yeah, apparently it was the show to see.
Yeah.
At Williamstown that summer.
Well, he's another controversial playwright.
Yes. Is this his Broadway debut?
I think it is.
I think it is.
I think so. I don't think he's had a play on
very
Broadway.
Very exciting. He's a Pulitzer Prize finalist. And this play, as I understand it, I think there's a bit of mystery around it for good reason, given the plot. But it's a two-person show about an encounter between a writing professor and a challenging student. And if that doesn't have you hooked, then I don't know what to do for you.
Nothing will.
Yeah, right? Nothing will.
Go watch Succession.
Right, yeah.
Turn on the TV.
And I believe this is a Lincoln Center Theater production at Studio 54.
Yeah, I think so.
So we love Lincoln Center Theater. I think they curate the best shows every year. I don't think I've ever seen something bad at Lincoln Center.
No.
Like, ever, where they've presented. Okay, all right. Ooh.
But I've been around a little longer than
you. Yeah, that's true. You had more opportunity. Another nonprofit theater, Second Stage Theater, presents the Steppenwolf production of Tracy Letts' Linda Vista.
This is the thing I am the most excited about.
Really? Okay, well, say more.
I love Tracy Letts as an author, an actor.
Yes.
I think August Osage County is my favorite play written in the last 25, 30 years, as long as I've been seeing theater in New York City.
Yeah.
It is a masterpiece,
yes.
And I have very high hopes for this play as well.
I do too. It's funny. I just saw Make Believe the off-Broadway space with you, Jamie.
Yeah, I was there.
Loved it, and I was thinking, like, why isn't this in their Broadway space? And then I saw that Linda Vista was coming to their Broadway space, and I was like, okay, they've got a Tracy Letts play,
Because we saw it together, and you know what I'm going to say. Make Believe was a punch in the gut.
Yes.
I didn't see coming.
Yes.
I didn't know anything about that play.
Yep.
That play is spectacular. I believe it's closed now, right?
No, it hasn't closed yet. I will say,
does it run through September or?
I'm pulling it up right now. It runs through September 22nd. So it will have just closed.
It will have just closed by the time this airs.
But Bess Wahl. Wohl? Wahl?
Wahl.
Wahl. W-H-L. If there's a way to pronounce it wrong, I will do it. And I hold me to that.
I believe it's Wahl.
She has written two of my favorite plays of the last 6 months.
The continuity
was
such a delightful, and again, a sucker punch I didn't see coming.
Yes.
She has this incredible ability to set up something without you even know it's getting, without you really don't know what's happening, and then the rug goes out and you're left speechless.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, Second Stage Theater, I mean, their mission is to produce living American playwrights.
So
we've just named two, and they do great work.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Yeah. And then the last new play of the fall season, which I'm going to go out on a limb, I'm going to make a bold statement because I like to be bold.
It's not that bold, Rob.
Okay, well, I think this will be the most notable play of the entire season.
I feel like everybody knows that.
Matthew Lopez's The Inheritance, which, if you don't know, is this epic, sweeping, two-part modern adaptation of E.M. Forster's Howard's End, set among a group of millennial-aged gay men in New York today, contending with the legacy of the AIDS crisis. I saw it in London last year.
Did you see it once or twice?
I saw it once.
Oh, I thought it went twice.
And I will say, so I had a unique experience when I saw it. I did the marathon, the matinee in the evening, sort of binge-watched The Inheritance, if you will. And I walked out of the theater, well, out of the auditorium, I'm in the lobby, and I thought, I need to read this. I need to buy the script. And I'm one of those people who's like, plays are meant to be seen, not read. You know, like that's one of my like annoying things.
In that annoying voice?
Yes, and I always do it in that voice. But for the first time, literally in my life, I had to read the play. And luckily they were selling it two feet away from me, so I bought it.
And did you stay up all night reading it?
I stayed up as long as I could because, you know, I never adjust to the time change when I travel. This is, I think, a really, really important play that is going to make waves in a different way than, say, Slave Play, right? Which
right.
obviously is another major important play of the fall. The Inheritance.
I think The Inheritance will be less polarizing
yes,
than Slave Play.
I think that's true.
I think it might be a little more user-friendly, even though the subject matter is quite heavy.
Yes.
And it's quite long.
It is.
Yeah.
6.5 hours.
Yeah. I'm in for a 6.5 hour
play. You love a 6.5 hour play. What do you always say?
90 minutes or all day.
Yep. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. So those are the plays. Great fall for plays.
Yeah.
Jamie?
Great. Yeah, sorry.
Give me something. Give me something.
Sorry. I went away. Well, you know what? You know where I went? I actually, because I said my own quote wrong. What I always say is I either want 90 minutes, no intermission, or 3 acts in 3 hours.
There you go.
That's what I always say. That's how I feel about it. Quote you accurately. Correct.
And then musicals, yes. So just like last season, it's sort of a light fall for new musicals on Broadway.
That changes. In the spring.
Of course, it always does, because all the big musicals open in April. The last 2 weeks in April. It's crazy. But this fall, we've got three new musicals coming.
And what are they, Rob?
Oh, well, thank you, Jamie, for asking. I thought you never would. The Lightning Thief, the Percy Jackson musical, which was sort of a surprise late announcement, given that it's already started performances at the Longacre Theater, like the day after the prom closed, they announced that this was coming in. I'm actually really excited for The Lightning Thief. I saw it in its off-Broadway iteration at the Lucio Lortel back in 2017. And I was quite charmed by it. I thought it was very clever, very entertaining. I know nothing about the Percy Jackson universe, Aaron. I don't know if
No, I don't either.
You're strictly Avengers.
We're looking right at you,
no,
Aaron.
No, I mean, I know Harry Potter and everything, but this is something I never...
This is sort of a different fantasy universe, right? Lightning Thief. They're capping their North American tour. They were at the Beacon uptown this spring or this summer for a couple weeks.
Well, aren't you a wealth of information?
Thank you. You've come to the right place. Next show that opens, next musical that opens, is Tina, the Tina Turner musical.
Which, on the surface of things, I would dismiss out of hand. However, I have heard from a very reliable source who saw it in London that it's quite wonderful.
Yes, so I do sense that there's a bit of diva fatigue happening, both across the table from me, but also just in the world, in the world of Broadway.
In the world of divas?
Right. Well, we've gotten Carole King, Donna Summer, Cher. And now Tina, who am I forgetting? I'm sure I'm forgetting someone. So I saw this in London last winter, same trip where I saw The Inheritance. And I was suffering from my own diva fatigue and walked in with an open mind. I always try to have an open mind. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Not only did I enjoy it, I think it's the best biomusical that I've potentially ever seen. I'd need to review a list. And it's, you know, because of the stagecraft and the storytelling, of course. But, you know, there's a lot of talented people involved in all these things. It's not just that. It's the fact that Tina Turner has a really good story to tell.
Yes, she does. And well, there's been a movie about it.
There's a movie about it. I mean, it writes itself, and that with no disrespect to whoever wrote it. because obviously it didn't. Someone had to write it. Through no choice of her own, she has had, a lot of things happen to her, and she's done a lot of things on her own that have made for an incredible story. And it's a story that, perhaps because it's my age, I sort of caught her comeback. I wasn't alive for her first iteration.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're sitting across from me, Jamie. Okay. There's no other reason why. The dynamism of her story and the length of it, and the fact that it is sort of done, she's retired. She's not, out there performing. She's not creating new work. She lives in the Swiss Alps and has renounced her U.S. citizenship, which, honestly, I could relate these days.
I'm right there with you.
But Cher's still alive and she's still touring. Carole King is very much someone who's in the world, right? Donna Summer is dead. But Donna Summer's career, if we're really talking, seriously, was a couple years in the late 70s. Some amazing years. I'm not to take anything away from Donna Summer, but it's a very short story, the story of her success. When Donna Summer was Donna Summer, it's a short number of years. Tina Turner, she's with Ike, and then she's, this Vegas.
She's lived many lives.
Yeah, she's had so many iterations, and it's complete, and there's some distance from the last iteration that allows you to be able to, take a deep breath and tell the story.
She's a true survivor.
Well, that's for
and
sure.
And that's always a compelling story to tell.
And I can't believe we're this deep into the conversation about the Tina Turner musical without mentioning Adrian Moore.
Well, I was waiting for you. I was confused why you were burying the lead on this.
Oh my gosh.
She's spectacular.
She is spectacular. Yeah. And she's always been spectacular, right? I mean, the first time I saw her was in Shuffle Along. And I remember thinking, oh my God, who is that? She's magnetic.
She was in the Dreamgirls, what they called the Apollo tour, right? The tour that went out. Mm-hmm. And I believe she was Laurel. And that's not a compelling role necessarily.
Compared to
Dina and Effie.
Right.
And yet, when you have a Laurel like Adrienne Warren or Heather Headley was another incredible Laurel.
Yeah.
But Adrienne Warren, I mean, seeing that many years ago, I thought
you knew.
That's a star.
Yep. Yep.
She's outshining all those other
star
wonderful women.
Quality. Yeah. Yes. And she becomes Tina Turner. And I know that gets thrown around a lot, but like literally becomes
Tina Turner. I can't wait.
Yeah. You're simply the best. And then the last new musical of the fall is Jagged Little Pill.
Yep.
Which, Alanis Morissette's 1995 album, sort of iconic at this point, has been reimagined as a stage musical with its own original story, is my understanding. And tackling a lot of contemporary issues is also my understanding around addiction, I believe.
I don't know.
I don't want to misspeak. But it was at ART in 2018 up in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And this is a Diane Paulus production. You know, she never fails to deliver very compelling works of art.
That is true.
I'm excited. You know, it's funny. As a kid, I couldn't stand Alanis Morissette only because my sister was obsessed and I'm the younger brother, so I had to hate whatever my sister liked. But now, oh my gosh, when I heard this was becoming a stage musical, I went back to the album and I knew, like, you know, You Ought to Know, right? Like the biggest hit of the album. But I re-listened to it and I was like, oh my gosh,
this it's a great album.
Is incredible. Not only, you know, was I rediscovering it, but it turns out I knew all the songs because it brings you right back to a time and a place, 1995. I mean, I very viscerally remember hearing that music.
Well, it's also one of those albums, not unlike Carole King's Tapestry, yes, or Fleetwood Mac Rumors, mm-hmm, or there are, yep, several albums, yep, that follow this same thing where, right, every song,
yes,
is fantastic.
Yep.
You know?
It's a perfect album.
It's a perfect album.
Perfect album.
It's well, yep, said.
So I can't wait to see how they've reimagined it as a musical. You know, and what is the story, and you know, who are the characters?
Well, you'll find out soon.
I will find out. Yes, I will. So rounding out the fall season are a bunch of other little offerings. So, yeah. Do we want to do holidays first or magic?
Well, magic.
Magic. So Darren Brown's Secret will have opened by the time this airs. He's a mentalist. He's a British mentalist who is making his Broadway debut in this show. I'm excited to see it. I went to see The Illusionists last season, their little holiday engagement, with a friend of mine, and discovered that I love magic.
That's good.
I love illusion.
I'm glad you have a
purpose. I love a mind reader. Yeah, who knew? I sat there with a grin across my face the whole time. And then I saw In and of Itself last season as well, which, oh my God, that was incredible. So I'm excited to see what Darren Brown's Secret has to offer. And it is, to me, a bit of a secret because I don't know what the show is or what he does, but I can't wait.
It will be revealed to
you. It will be revealed. And that runs through January, so it's got a healthy run at the Court Theater. Freestyle Love Supreme, not magic, but it's kind of magic, right? Lin-Manuel Miranda and friends have put together this show. I have to quote the press line. It's a hip-hop improv live music experience. So do with that what you will, and what you will do with it is buy tickets and go see it. If you can, it's at the Booth Theater, which is one of the smallest theaters on Broadway, and it's a limited run through January. And there's a rotating cast of people. I don't think you know who's going to be there that night. But some of the people are like Christopher Jackson or Lin-Manuel Miranda himself. So I have a feeling this is going to be a difficult ticket to obtain.
Probably.
Yeah.
I like to know who my cast is. I don't like surprises.
You don't like surprises. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That doesn't appeal to me in terms,
right,
of that part
aspect
of it.
Of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But I'm very intrigued. You know, it sort of reminds me, not that I ever saw it, but in theory, of the Deaf Poetry Jams that they used to do on Broadway, right?
Right. Where
it's a bit of an improvisational quality. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's going to be participating.
Yep.
And, you know.
Very similar.
So I'm very intrigued to see what that is. And then American Utopia, David Byrne's latest album, American Utopia, has been reimagined as a theatrical concert. And it's in Boston, I believe at the Colonial, and is coming to Broadway to the Hudson Theater after See Wall of Life. And that runs through January as well. I'm very intrigued to see that. David Byrne is certainly a very—he never fails to deliver, right? I mean, he's a major force in the music industry and a very creative guy. So that should be very good.
Should be.
Looking forward to it. And then it was a trio of holiday offerings to, you know, keep some theaters full while they wait for their spring tenants, but also, you know, to celebrate the season. Slavis Snow Show is back in New York for the first time, I think, in like a decade or so.
Well, good for New York.
Good for New York.
I felt like it never left New World Stages. I was surprised to learn that it actually wasn't playing.
Yeah. Have you seen Slavis Snow Show?
I have not.
I haven't either. And growing up in this area, I always saw the ads and was always so intrigued, you know, the print ads. I was always so intrigued by what it is.
Well, maybe so if you get invited, we'll go.
Yeah,
you'll invite me.
Russian clown Slava Pulinin has been doing this show for easily 2 decades now.
Slava what?
I'm not repeating that.
Yes, you are. Say it one
I
more
refuse.
Time.
I refuse. It's at the Stephen Sondheim Theater, November to January. The Illusionist, which I already alluded to.
Yes, you're a big
back.
Fan.
The Illusionist, Magic of the Holidays, at the Neil Simon. And that's, it's like a, you know, magic variety show. It's almost like being at like a live taping of an old-fashioned kind of variety show. There's a different act that come out, you know, someone yeah. is in a box and there's swords and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's a main line classic magic show.
We get it.
Can't go, we get it. And then the last sort of holiday offering and the last show we'll talk about for the fall season is A Christmas Carol.
I am very excited about this.
So let me tell you something. Last year when I went to London, same trip. It's funny, actually. 5 of the 6 shows I saw on that trip will be on Broadway this season. So either I have really good taste or I should have just really bad luck and should have saved the money because I
oh,
did a whole
stop
trip over
that.
There.
You love that you've seen all these
it
shows.
It is kind of fun to be in the know. Yes.
Don't play that one.
But I discovered that I was going to be in London the week before Christmas and was like, oh, what should I see? I had one more slot and I saw that A Christmas Carol was playing at the Old Vic and I thought, oh, you know, I'm going to go see it. A week before Christmas in London, how can I not see A Christmas Carol? But I was very self-conscious about it. I was like, of all the things, I should be seeing something new. Or, you know, it's A Christmas Carol. Like,
you were sort of apologetic
when you told me you were going to see that.
Yeah.
Not just you, everyone, right? And come, you know, act 2 of A Christmas Carol, I'm sitting there weeping for, you know, what's his name?
Scrooge?
No, Cratchit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this every act. Honestly, all.
Oh
of
no!
Them.
What's the one with
Tiny Tim?
Scrooge,
Tiny
Tim.
Tim. That's
I
who
mean,
you're
gosh.
Weeping for.
So Jack Thorne, who wrote Harry Potter and the Cursed Child and King Kong, the musical, actually, wrote this adaptation, and they're doing it at the Lyceum Theater, which is the perfect theater for it. I imagine they're going to stage it the way they did at the Old Vic, where it's sort of a runway stage that comes out into the audience, and there's audience all around. It's the audience on the stage. And it's A Christmas Carol, you know, which, again, it sounds trite and cliche to say, but like, oh my God. Of all the things I'm recommending, which that's not the point of this episode, but I'm just going to do it anyway, Slave Play, The Inheritance, A Christmas Carol. If you see 3 things this fall, see those 3.
There it is.
There you go.
You've said it.
I've said it. And you know what? Let's tease for the spring.
Okay.
Just a moment. Just a momentary tease.
Be a tease, Rob.
Be a tease. So one show that is starting previews early in December, but does not open until February. So this is a
long preview.
Really long preview period. Is West Side Story.
Yep.
So people are going to be talking about it this fall season.
We're already talking about it right now.
You've
been talking about it for a while.
I've been talking about it since the minute it was announced.
Yeah.
To be honest,
this is true.
Yeah, this is you can testify.
I'm here to corroborate that.
Wow, you're a corroborator. So Belgian auteur Ivo van Hove, who, if you don't know, has directed, devised, created some of the most talked about pieces of theater that have played in New York in the last number of seasons. His Crucible. His A View from the Bridge were both major productions. The Damned at the Park Avenue Armory was huge.
His Little Foxes.
I haven't seen.
Little Foxes at, I want to say, New York Theater Workshop with Elizabeth Marvel.
Yeah, he did something at.
Am I making this up?
No,
because there was TV screens, projections, and there was milk on the stage
exactly.
at the end.
So those are the hallmarks of his. His directorial style, it's I called him an auteur for a reason. You don't have to watch one of his shows more than 5 minutes to know that you're watching an Ivo van Hove
show. Didn't he do the Bowie thing, too?
Yes.
At New York Theater
Workshop? Yes, he did Lazarus at New York Theater Workshop. And, of course, Network on Broadway last
season.
Oh,
my God.
Which
was
brilliant.
Phenomenal.
Yes. So, he's, you know, it's probably a very silly thing to say, but, you know, he's known for working with different media, you know, multimedia sort of presentations. And he's, you know, he's the resident director of a theater company in Amsterdam, and is known for adapting films and plays in new ways. This is the first musical revival that he is tackling. So Lazarus was a new piece, but West Side Story, this is the first time he is directing sort of a golden age musical. And I cannot get to the Broadway Theater soon enough to see what he's done with it.
You'll be there at the first preview.
I probably, yes. That's right. And the what beyond his involvement in this production, it's the first time that Jerome Robbins' choreography will not be recreated on stage since 1957.
Which I'm rather excited about.
Very excited about. You know, they had to get all the estates to approve this production, as you do whenever you do a revival, right? You need to get whoever wrote it originally to sign off. The only person who's living of the original creative team is, of course, Stephen Sondheim. And I loved what he said when they announced this production, which is, you know, the American theater is a living art form and it has to be reinvented. And so he's game. If Stephen Sondheim is game, I'm game.
Yep, that's real.
Huge. Okay, well, that's Broadway. Is there anything else you wanted to mention?
Well, there is one off-Broadway offering that I am particularly excited about, and that would be MCC's The Wrong Man.
Yes.
And it's Ross Golan. Who is a very prolific and talented songwriter.
I don't know any of his work.
Well, because he writes songs for pop stars. That's probably not what you're listening to.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I didn't know who he was until I very luckily went to a reading a musical reading, because the entire thing was sung, and I don't know if that's how the show actually will be. But he performed the entire score for a small group of people, and I was fortunate enough to be in the room, and I was blown away. And it won't be him performing it; it'll be Josh Henry, I mean, that is a big, big deal.
Yeah.
And this guy, and I hope I'm not butchering his name, Ryan Vasquez, who I saw in Hamilton in San Francisco, and it had one of those moments. Yeah. He was an understudy going on. In a role that he was covering, obviously, and I went, that kid's a star.
Wow.
But at any rate, it's very clever, and the music is extraordinary. Yeah. So
it hasn't even opened yet, and already there's some buzz that it might be making the leap to Broadway.
It could.
Yeah.
It could very
which is very exciting.
Again, I'm here for the small show.
Yes.
And again, I say that without really knowing that it's... But it's
still small, right? You
I think
seen it yet,
by comparison to Moulin Rouge,
right.
Well, everything's small.
Right, exactly.
But I think it's a small company. It's a small band.
Right, it's an intimate piece.
It's an intimate very powerful piece of theater.
The witness pointed out the wrong man. The wrong man is singing this song. Man, the wrong man. The wrong man is singing this song. Man, the wrong man. How many ways can you say one way? How many times can you mention a see an extension? There are only 60 days to the execution. They give me a stay. Don't make me a statistical anomaly. The wrong man is singing this song. Man, the wrong man.
If we're each getting to say our most anticipated off-Broadway show of the fall.
We are.
Which I've decided that's what we're doing. I would offer Soft Power, which if you've listened to our season last season, we sat down with David Henry Huang, the playwright, who has written this musical with Janine Tesori. They call it a musical within a play because it has a very clever structure. And if you don't know anything about it, it's sort of a reverse King and I. A story told from a Chinese perspective about a relationship between an American figure and a Chinese figure, the American figure being Hillary Clinton, my boss. And it happens in the aftermath of the 2016 election, so it's sort of an imagined thing. And then spins off into the future. It's very, talk about clever, right? I mean, very, very, very clever. You have two of the finest writers of the musical theater, not just today, but ever. Collaborating on this piece, which is really exciting. That's going to be at the Public Theater. I believe it's, at this point, probably almost all sold out. But I hope they extend. And
well, they did one extension.
They did one-week extension.
Maybe they'll do another.
Maybe they will. I don't know. Let's see. But I am very excited for that. I will admit I saw it in L.A. in 2017. Wow, so almost 2 years ago.
And I saw it in San Francisco.
Right? No, 2018. Sorry, 2018.
Three times.
2018, yeah. Three times in San Francisco.
I was at the first preview. I was at opening night or something. I went again when there was a talk back, and I went to the final performance.
Yeah. So those are two shows to really put on your radar, The Wrong Man and Soft Power.
Yeah, Soft Power is clever. And, you know, if it would be a wonderful world if Soft Power made it to Broadway. I'll just leave that there.
Really would. On a closing note.
Close with a note.
Close with a note. And we'll probably be talking about this all season, if I'm being honest. And I like to be honest. I like to be honest. This summer, we lost a titan of Broadway, Harold Prince. There's not an innovation that has happened in the past 50 years that he didn't have his fingerprints on. The man was a towering figure of Broadway. This is all a way of saying that it's not a show, but this fall, the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts, which is at Lincoln Center, if you've never been, drop in. You can walk right in. And they always have an exhibit on the first floor that's open to the public. It's free. And it's a rotating thing. I believe last year we saw the Jerry Robbins one, which was
we
very
did.
Cool. Their exhibit, which was long planned, this fall, is about Hal Prince, producer and director Hal Prince, who passed away in, I believe, August. So it's eerily timed. I wish he was alive to see it, but you should go check it out. I can't wait. It started on the 18th of September. It runs through March. And associated with that...
Why haven't you been already?
Because we're recording this before the 18th, Jamie. So I couldn't go into the future. But if I could, I would. And that's actually a reminder. I should put on my calendar. I should go to opening day. I'm obsessed with Hal Prince. I mean, he's the reason that,
It actually opens on the day that our first episode of season two...
There you go. Kismet.
Comes
it's
out.
A sign. It's a sign. Anyway, associated with this exhibit, as they always do, they're doing a series of free events. If you go to the New York Public Library for the Performing Arts' website, you can see they always curate really great events, panel discussions and talkbacks, all sorts of folks who are involved in the Hal Prince, the world of Hal Prince, the universe of Hal Prince, will be participating. So check that out. It's a little fun little tip that maybe you wouldn't have heard otherwise, but you heard it here.
Yeah, I think that's a great tip. And I will also say that if there's anything that we said that you'd like to read a little bit more about, you can always go to Rob's blog, stageleft.nyc, and you can read more about the shows that we've discussed, and you can actually read all of the reviews for the shows that we have discussed that he has written reviews on, most of them, right? The six London shows.
Right, of course, yeah, and I'll be covering all these shows this fall, so stay tuned, stageleft.nyc. Thank you, Jamie, for that little plug.
You're welcome.
I'm very proud of my site.
You should be. It's good.
Yeah, thank you. And that's the fall.
That's the fall. We did it.
Now we have to see everything.
Yeah.
I feel like I have at this point. But very exciting. Cool. Alrighty. Well, stay tuned. We've got a lot of great guests coming up this season, on our season of The Fabulous Invalid, which has just launched with Betty Buckley. And we've got some tricks up our sleeves.
We do indeed. So we're both check them out.
Sleeveless at the moment. Well, short sleeved.
We are short sleeved. Yeah. That's a real thing.
But we've got tricks nonetheless. That didn't sound right.
No, it didn't.
Now I'm just filibustering.
Is
Aaron, anything you'd like to say to
Curtis? Is this another illusionist bit? You're going back to that? Or the mentalist?
Well, Aaron, from what we listed, is there anything that you're excited to see?
I think the one, I actually probably would be Jagged Little Pill, just because, you said, this is something that I grew up.
Right.
With this album and know this
it's
album
in your veins.
And would like yeah. to, yeah. I also am like you, never as a kid was never like, I love Alanis Morissette. But
right.
I think this would be, I'm really intrigued to see how this is done on stage as well. I think that would be, So that would be the one I think that I would be most excited about. And there are a number you've talked about last season that you saw in London that will be coming either in the fall or I was peeking ahead in the spring.
Yeah,
and there's one in particular in the spring I'm very excited about.
Yes.
But yeah, so I think that would be great.
Awesome, cool. Well, tweet at us what show you want to see or what show you're most excited to see.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, we're at Fabulous Invalid.
That we are.
And today's show was edited and engineered by Aaron Kaufman. The Fabulous Invalid is a production of O&M Etc. and The Fabulous Invalid LLC, and a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network.
Woohoo! Do I say anything now?
Sure. Say what you want to say. What you feel, Rob?
Oh wow! Yeah, tune in. Tune in. Like, rate, subscribe. People always say that on podcasts. We don't. We should.
Well, then say it.
If you like what you hear, write a review. You know.
You
can find the Fabulous Invalid online at thefabulousinvalid.com, our beautiful website that we're very proud of, on the Broadway Podcast Network website, on social media at Fabulous Invalid, and on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you find your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, write a review. Give us some stars. You know.
And tweet at me.
Yeah, tweet
at me. Make
me
feel loved
Jamie
on social media.
Jamie is the voice of our Twitter handle. So
for better or for worse.
Make his day. And
yeah,
and
make me feel good.
Tweet at us. All right.
Bye.
Bye. And I'm here to remind you of the mess you left when you went away. It's not fair to deny.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.